Scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 3, verses 12 through 19. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you denied the Holy Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith which is through Jesus has given this man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." May God bless this reading of his word.
Chiang Mai, Thailand, is a very, very busy place. There are cars going every which way. I was in a tuk-tuk. That's where you have a driver. It's kind of like a motorcycle with a bench seat on the back. And the driver even bounced off the edge or kind of went over the edge of a corner and then hit a car, sort of, and just kept on going. So it's kind of wild like that in the streets. The Asian people are very quiet people, though. So there's a lot of people there. They're all out on the streets. You don't stay in the hot houses. You stay out on the streets, markets. You go to the market every day. So there are a lot of people around all the time in the streets. When I was there one time, I heard around 3 o'clock in the afternoon a sound that was so different than what I'd heard all day long in the city. And so I stopped and paused and listened really carefully and realized it was a chant, a beautiful Eastern sounding chant that kind of came over the top of the city and down, if you can hear that in your mind. And I realized then that it was probably an Islamic chant, which they are Buddhist mainly in that country, but Thailand is very open and allows other religions. They don't fight about religion. And so I paused for a minute and I thought, oh, it's time for me to pray. And so when I heard that chanting each day, I paused and thought about God and the things that I was thankful for. And just a short prayer, but an appreciation for the world and for where I was at and what I was going to do and life itself. Well, our story this morning backs up, I'm going to back up before. We can't read the whole chapter, so I have to kind of set the story for you. Peter and John were going to the temple for the 3 o'clock prayer. Like the Chiang Mai chanting, the 3 o'clock call to come to the temple to pray. We do it with mealtime prayers, a pause to think about God. So Peter and John were going to the temple to pause in their very busy day to think about God. And so as they entered Jerusalem, the old city, is a walled city, and there are gates into the city, and so you have to go in through one of these gates. So they were going into the main gate to go into the temple area, the beautiful gate, and there they encountered a man who was begging, a lame man, sitting outside of the gate. That means that his friends brought him to the gate so that he could receive alms, pay for his daily meal, But they didn't bring him in to the temple, the area for prayer and for worship of God. And the Jewish religion is very, one of their most important ideas is that of hospitality. So his friends bringing him to that gate was a good thing. They knew that those coming to worship in the temple would be very generous, and they would offer him money. And so they were doing something good for this man to bring him to the gate and set him down. But I wonder, from his point of view, can you imagine the isolation in the middle of the crowd that is going into the temple? The streets of Jerusalem are small. Coming into the temple, it's a very wide open area, but there are a lot of people going through a small gate. And so this man, in the midst of a crowd, is isolated, rejected, waiting for the charity of others. A rejection because he was born lame, not because of something that he ever did. Well, I'm guilty. I'm going to admit it. You don't have to admit what you do, but when I go down the street, I see someone begging, I tend to look the other way because a lot of times they're on drugs, alcohol. I don't want to give them money that's going to keep them in their habit. I prefer to give to organizations that will help them. So I do that, and I feel like that's my way to help them. And so I tend to walk by without looking. If I don't look at them, I don't have to tell them why I'm not giving them money. So I can go to the other side of the road, or I can look down. But Peter and John didn't do that. Now, I would imagine that many of those coming into the city that day probably handed the money, looked down, and went on their way. Peter and John stopped and looked at the man. And then Peter told the man to look at him. And then Peter said, I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand and walk. I am ashamed when I read that, because I give money rather than reaching out a hand to truly help the people that need it most to walk. A long time ago now, I worked at a women's shelter. And when I came to the shelter, I was asked to teach Christian values. And they gave me a book. It had kind of a guideline, but when I looked through the book, I decided that I wouldn't teach what they thought I was going to teach. Thankfully, they weren't looking over my shoulder. Because when I looked through that book, kind of the whole gist of the entire book, every single chapter was, just believe in Jesus and all will be well. You just have to give your life to Jesus, and in life you'll straighten everything out. Well, you know, they went into other details, but that was pretty much it, and the verses were pretty much in that sense. But I believe, yes, we do need to believe in Jesus, and Jesus is the help that will give us the power to change. But it's kind of like handing them money. Oh, just believe in Jesus, you'll be fine, and walking away, rather than teaching them the skills along with Jesus in order to make their life successful. And so after we got to know one another and talked about their particular problems and their weaknesses in their life that were causing them huge amounts of problems, we began to talk about how to be a little less angry and believe in Jesus, how to be less impulsive, of course with the power of Jesus, and to be less fatalistic, and to give them a healthy trust in God, along with those skills that they really needed to make it through life. And so we had scenarios where we would talk about exactly what is it that is your trigger to make you angry, and what else can you say to maybe diffuse that situation for you. Well, that lame man, when he was healed, when he was taught to stand, he came walking and leaping and praising God into the temple, the area he probably had never been in. He was clinging to Peter and John. You can imagine his excitement. Here this man had been sitting on Solomon's porch outside of the temple, which is a beautiful, ornate, wonderful religious colonnade. But the religious establishment wasn't healing him. They were giving him, but they weren't healing him. He wasn't getting what he needed totally. But Peter and John did. They gave him a hand, and their faith in God gave them the faith in him that the man was healed. They trusted that they, with God's help, could lift this man out of degradation. So surrounded by good religious folks who were doing the right thing, they were handing money, which that he needed, they were able to give him more. Well, Peter then seized a good opportunity, like all good preachers are supposed to do, and he preached a sermon. But he preached a gutsy one, a very gutsy one. He said, and now remember, Peter was Jewish. The disciples were Jewish. Christianity did not come into the world until way after Jesus' death. Jesus was Jewish. The disciples were Jewish. And Peter said, the Jews killed the author of life. Well, it's easy to say the Jews killed Jesus, and we can move on in our life. But really and truly, it was humanity that killed Jesus. It was the sin in the world that killed Jesus. There was a debate between Jewish and Gentile later on. We last week talked about Peter's opening of his mind about the food controversy. He decided that people would not have to become Jewish to become Christian. And so those who were Jewish became Christian, and they were all guilty. We are all guilty of killing Jesus. But in a sense, I think we're all guilty of killing Jesus piece by piece daily. I think we're guilty of killing Jesus when we neglect to take care of those who have less. You remember Jesus said, when you do unto the least of these, you do unto me. And so he is telling us that when we don't take care of those who are less, when we don't help them stand when they can't, then we are doing it to Jesus and killing a piece of Jesus. I think it's that way when we don't take care of our creation, when we don't take care of those things that God gives us, we're killing a little bit each time. But in defense, Peter said, well, you acted out of ignorance. And Jesus, of course, on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I think a lot of what we do, we do out of ignorance. When we only give money and don't give other kinds of help, which I'm hoping that others are guilty of, not only me, but we do that out of ignorance because we are giving with a true heart and hoping that that will help them. But we do it out of ignorance. It takes intentional work to think about it and to act better. And I bring this up because we have a great opportunity to give more than money. We have a women's shelter that is moving into our neighborhood at the end of our road. But then Peter said, change your hearts, repent and turn toward God. In the Greek, the word is metanoia. And that is the word that in English we get metamorphosis from. It's a change of our lives. You know, butterflies, through metamorphosis, change from a caterpillar into a butterfly. And so it's this idea of transforming our lives, changing, turning toward God. And then Peter talks not so much about death and killing, but about resurrection and life, complete health, wholeness. But I wonder, what would have happened if that day Peter and John did not interrupt their routine to pray? What would have happened if Peter and John hadn't seen the lame man and looked in his eyes? What would have happened if they just handed some money and moved on? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Oh God, open our eyes and our hearts, we pray. Amen.